Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be doing Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. To me, this is one of the most fascinating prakim in all of Tanakh. It is a Perek which resonates across time, across peoples, in so many different ways. Let's start at the beginning. This actually happens to be the Haftorah for the 8th day of Pesach. So this is when we're talking about, you know, the times of Mashiach, the potential of Mashiach coming. That's really the topic of this perek. And starts off with the famous words, Vayot v'yotza choyter migeza yishai. Moving along with the theme of growth, of forests, of axes, which we talked about in the previous perek. Now the idea is that there's going to be this sprout which will come out of the geza, of the growth of yishai. Yishai, of course, meaning the house of David, where that's going to arrive. Of course, we're talking to the generation in the south, which is witnessing the unfolding of the exile of the north, the horrific exile of Sancheriv, of the northern kingdom, and slowly as it encroaches upon them. So he's talking to them and saying, don't worry, there's going to come a time where this scion of this house of David is going to arise. And v'nochol of ruach Hashem, and he's going to have the spirit of Hashem on him. Ruach chokma bino ruach etzol gvura v'yirach das v'yiras Hashem, and he's going to have all this great wisdom. And he'll judge based on not sight or sound but smell. V'arichoy b'yiras Hashem, and he's going to judge those who've been oppressed, and he's going to rectify the misjudgments of society. V'gar ze'evim kavis, and the famous prophecy. And we're going to have the wolf and the lamb living together, the leopard and the goat, the calf and the lion, and a young boy leading them all. It even goes so far as to say in this prophecy that the cow and the bear will both pasture together, the lion will eat straw, meaning to say, it sounds like there's going to be some sort of seismic change in the nature of this world, this vision of peace, this vision of the end of days. This child will be playing on the vipers, by the viper's pit. There's not going to be a problem. No one will be hurt around my mountain, my holy mountain. The earth will be filled with knowledge of God, like water covers the oceans. Now, just interesting point over here, is this is not a prophecy of conversion of the whole entire world to Judaism, just to be appreciative of that fact. Unlike Christianity, unlike Islam, which views the world as ultimately in a process to revelation that will arrive at some point in time where the Messiah will come, and ultimately all the other peoples, all the heathens and the infidels will ultimately come round to convert to Christianity or Islam. That is not true of Judaism. Over here, it seems like everybody's going to have a day of Hashem in whichever station in society there will be. The second part of the perek, which is runs from Pasuk Yud Aleph to Tes Zayin, describes the return of the lost tribes. V'yobayomahu, it'll be on that day. Yosef Hashem Hashem Yis Yodoy Iliknois Es Sha'ar Amoy Asher Yishoem Me'ashur Me'mitzrayim Me'pasros Me'kush Me'ilom V'nishar V'mishin Or V'chamas Yeyayom. Hashem's going to bring back his people from Assyria and Egypt and Pasros and Ethiopia and all these different countries, and from the Yeyayom, from the islands of the sea, out far into the world, from the diaspora, Hashem will bring them. He'll bring them from all the four corners of the earth, and they'll no longer be kinna. There's no longer going to be divisions. There's no longer going to be fighting. There's no longer going to be the north and the south and all these people killing each other. Rather, they're all going to come back together. And Hashem will, in a so to speak, metaphorically split, whether maybe even literally, this the Nahar Mitzrayim, the river of Egypt, into seven Nechalim, into seven walkways, and bring them back through from all these seven nations through this miraculously to the land of Israel. Kasher Yisrael Yisrael b'yom al Hashem Eretz Yisrael, it'll be like the day that Israel was redeemed from Egypt. So this is a really magnificent perek in every sense of it, and it gives us rise to a lot of thoughts. So let's start at the very beginning over here. One or two interesting points to notice. First very important question to deal with is, when is this prophecy about? Meaning to say, who is the direct audience of this prophecy? So Ibn Ezra entertains the fact that many of the Mefarshim point out that this cannot be talking about the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech or even Yeshayahu's, we'll call it sojourn as a prophet. For the simple reason is, we never see that the lost tribes of the north ever come back. So if that's true, it cannot have been something that Yeshaya was prophesying about at that time. It must be about the Mashiach. It must be in the very, very long apocalyptic future that we're talking about over here. However, Rashi says something very interesting, and that is, no. Like last Perek was addressing the generation of the rising of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, there's going to be this generation of the fourth king Yeshayahu is going to be talking to, and he's going to be a good king, and he's going to bring everything, Atarei Yoshna, the crown back to its old glory, so too he will potentially bring back the lost tribes. However, he doesn't. Meaning to say, this prophecy never really occurred in the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, which allows the Malbim to suggest something which is such a powerful idea, such a watershed moment in Parashanot, that in fact one of my teachers, Rabbi Chaim Angel, calls this the Malbim principle, which he mentions over here in the introduction to Perek Yud Aleph, and that is that prophecy has the ability to come true in numerous ways. So essentially, at this point in time, the potential existed that the Choter Megezer Yishai, this sprouting forth, this Mashiach from the house of David, could have been, in fact, Yechizkiel himself. Chizkiel could have been the Melech Mashiach, but something went wrong, which means to say that the messianic potential was lost, and ultimately then it pivoted out into future history when the Melech Mashiach could come, and there were various times in history that the Malbim will point out later on that that was actually more prevalent and possible to come. But the notion is that the first target audience, like Rashi was suggesting, was the generation of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and it now moved onwards when that was lost to the further future, which gives us a sense of the potential that could have been but was lost. When looking at this perek, another really important discussion which revolves around this perek is a question which really is to be found in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the last perek in Perek Chelek, which is, what is the nature of the times of Mashiach? Is it going to be something natural or supernatural? And this is a machlokes between the Chachamim and Shmuel at the in the Gemara. Shmuel says that there's no difference between the times of Mashiach and now, except for Shibud Malchios, that we're not going to be under the oppression of the nations, but nothing else will change. And the Chachamim say no, but implicitly they disagree. They say it will be supernatural. These two opinions are reflected in the Rambam and many of those who disagree with the Rambam. So, for instance, the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud Beis, towards the end of Hilchos Melachim, just to quote him, he says, "Al yale al alev shebi mosa Mashiach yuvatel dover meher minago shel olam." Don't think that things will change in the times of Mashiach. Or yeah, shom chidush ba'ba'zeh bereshis, that the workings of creation will be shifted. Elo olam ki menago yo noeg. Everything's going to work normally. V'zeshen amar b'shayahu v'gar ze'evim keves and amirim gedi yirbats. Ah, Yeshayahu says in Perek Yud Aleph, which we're learning today, that there's going to be this wolf and the lamb. Well, how does that work? He says, Mashal the Chida, it is a metaphor. It is a riddle. Inyan hadavar, Shiyu Yisrael Yoshvim Lovetach im Rishay Akum. It's an example that we're going to be able to live well and compatibly with those who have been persecuting us and hurting us up till now. And he says, and now which it says the Aryeh is Kabakar Yochel Tevin, he says it means to say that all those people who are persecuting us throughout the centuries will now be pacified. There's no longer going to be violence. That's what the Rambam understands. Those who disagree, and as an example, Rabbeinu Avraham, he says, V'alobah Torah v'ishbati chayara min aretz. The rabbi points out that the Torah talks about supernatural events at the end of times, that there's not going to be any wild animals left in the land, which means to say that the actual nature of animals will be changed. There'll be a change in the actual physical nature of the world around us. Similarly, this also reflects what will Mashiach look like. The rabbi himself says in the following halachas, don't think that the Mashiach is going to give you supernatural signs, u'mechadesh dvarim ba'olam u'mechayeh meisim, or resuscitate the dead. No, ain't a double cane. Share Rabbi Kiva, Chacham Gadol Michach Me'a Mishnahu. Hayavu Hu Nosei Kelo Shel Bin Koziva. So Rabbi Kiva lived at the times of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Kiva assumed that Bar Kochba was the Mishnah Mashiach, and Bar Kochba wasn't a person who did supernatural miracles. He was a person who rallied the all of Israel around him in fighting off the Romans successfully for 2.5 years before the reprisal was swift. However, you see that it doesn't need to be supernatural. Those who disagree with him, so for instance, the Ravid is an example, right on the page there says, Omer Avram, Avram says, quoting, he's introducing his words, V'aloi ben koziva hoya omer, ono hu malko de Mashiach, v'shalchachom in abodko, I maruach v'adayin oloi, v'kemed oloi avid hachi kot luhu. He says, you know what the reason why Bar Kokhba died? He died not because he was killed by the Romans. He was killed by the Chachamim, by the sages, because he was put to the smell test. They said to him, can you judge based on smell? Which is what the Pasuk in Yeshayahu suggests, that he's going to have this supernatural sense. It's not going to be that he's just going to be very smart and intelligent. He's going to actually understand things that other people couldn't know. And he didn't pass that, so the Chachamim allowed him to, or betrayed him, to be put to death. Very, very fascinating description of what Mashiach is going to look like. The Mefarshim over here on the page debate it. The Radak says, no, what does it mean he's going to smell answers? It means to say that smell is the most ethereal of all the senses. It's something where the particles are so small. It's not like you're seeing something or hearing something. You can measure the waves and you can measure the sight or vision. But you smell something much more intangible. It's almost spiritual. That's what it means to say he's going to be a very intuitive person. Other Mefarshim say, no, it's supernatural. He really will have us. There'll be something supernatural about Mashiach. And these ideas have found their ways throughout Jewish history in many, many different ways. And we see these two ideas, these two Masoras, two traditions, were springing forth from this Perek itself. One last thing just worthwhile thinking about is that the Ramban, Nachmanides, had a famous debate with Pablo Cristiani of Aragon, in front of the king of Aragon, and it was because he publicized the transcript of this debate that he actually had to go into exile and went to the land of Israel. One of the, if you read the transcript, which is published in the Kisvei HaRamban, you can find the Ramban's version of it, he describes that part of the debate was that the Christians say that the Messiah has arrived, meaning to say that, you know, their Savior has come to earth. And the Ramban says, if that's true, look what this parak describes what Mashiach is supposed to look like. The Messiah is supposed to bring an era of peace. And he says, look around Europe. Has there been a century of peace? And in fact, in the more Christian of the countries, the more slaughter there was, says the Ramban. How can you say the Messiah has come when this is the description of Messiah? It's fascinating how this particular parak finds its way into the actual literature, into the actual discussions between Ramban and Pablo Cristiani. And the last fascinating thing to think about is that this perek is actually the foundation for a song written by Naomi Shemer called Machar. We're talking about the closure of the Straits of Tiran and hopefully the hope and wish that Israel should be able to find a time in their lives where there no longer would be war. And she uses the imagery in this perek as the basis of it. Tomorrow, perhaps in all paths, a lion will lead a flock of sheep. Tomorrow, 1,000 clappers will bleat in the memory of in the many bells of a holiday, taking the imagery of this perek to the hope for future, the future peace. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.